Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Girl has nothing but her boyfriend's underwear on, is giving him a fashion show in the living room, modeling his underwear to him. I walk in.
There are her pairs of dirty underwear on my fucking bed.
And one of my brothers didn't say, Morgan, you stink. You reek. No one wants to hang out with you because every time you open that pearly white little mouth of yours, there is a green foam. What's the sound effect?
Yeah. Pick you a damn struggle.
You can't hate gays and stink.
Pick a struggle,
oh my God,
stinky.
But you know, if she would have befriended one gay man, he would have cleaned her up. You guys know that I am newly obsessed with skincare, specifically anything that is going to be anti-aging. I'm always looking for the next big thing to keep the glow and the hydration and the dewiness alive. And I finally found a brand that does the heavy lifting for you, Ritual. This bad boy is Hyacera, the wrinkle support supplement that I never knew that I needed. Since I am so picky with what I am using these days, I love that Ritual backs everything up with science. Hyacera is a once daily supplement that's clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and fine lines and improve skin smoothness. And we all know that oftentimes skincare comes with a lot of big promises, but Ritual actually invested in a gold standard clinical study, so we actually have the facts. I started taking one of these every single day, and I do notice a difference in my overall skin texture and smoothness. It just feels a lot more bouncy and hydrated and glowing. Maybe you can tell. I love that it's ingestible skincare. I think it's so brilliant. You know that it's working from the inside out, makes it so easy. These are vegan, gluten-free, and third-party tested. It is also subscription-based, which is a miracle because they just magically show up at my door before I even realize that I'm running out. I also wanted to give a special shout out to these. This has changed the game for me. These are the Ritual Sleep Supplements. I only have 2 or 3 left because I take one every single night and have the most peaceful slumber I have ever experienced. If you want to level up your skincare game, you can get 25% off your first order of Ritual by clicking the link in the description or the show notes, or you can also go to ritual.com/MorganAdams25. Again, that is 25% off your first order. Thank you so, so much to Ritual for sponsoring this episode. Good afternoon, girls, gays, theys, straights, and my dear friend, Miss Barry, to my right. Welcome to another episode of your favorite podcast. If you don't know my name is Morgan.
I'm Brooke. Hey, how's it going?
I've learned to stop introducing you for you, and I'm going to let you introduce yourself because that's I'm kind. Just so nice.
You are really nice. Thank you.
And you can say your own name. Fine.
Fine. Hey.
2 minutes in. Why does she never shut up?
Yeah. Who? Me?
I'm just kidding. No, what's your hater's name? Cindy.
Cindy's been gone. Cindy.
What?
Listen. I don't know what happened. I hope you're okay, girl. But Cindy hasn't been in the...
Cindy, rise up.
Don't rise up.
No. Rise up in a good way.
Yes, Cindy. Cindy, it's okay. We can start over.
No. A lesson that we can learn from my dear brother is engagement is engagement. A comment is a comment.
I didn't say... Listen, Cindy was allowed to speak her truth, but I do live in the comments. And one day, about 6 months in, I just commented, Cindy, you always have such nice things to say.
And my favorite thing is that she calls you Brock.
She does call me Brock.
And now when I'm making fun of Brooke, I call her Brock.
She only Brock. Addresses Morgan and she'll go, Morgan, get rid of Brock. And I got a good chuckle out of it, but she hasn't been around.
Our alter egos could be Marco and Brock.
Marco.
I don't know. I wanted to feel a little spicy. Ooh. My parents gave me the whitest name in all of America. Morgan Lynn Adams. Are you effing kidding me? You could have given me a little sauce, a little sizzle.
A little sizzle. Can I tell you the funniest thing that's ever happened to me?
Sure.
Actually, that's really dramatic. And maybe not the funniest thing, but one of my new favorite things to do in Dallas is get a lymphatic drainage massage.
Oh.
Oh, get into it.
What everybody. Is that?
It basically, your lymphatic system is a system in your body that doesn't self cleanse. So like, you know, gua sha, that's lymphatic drainage.
I do see people, I've heard the term.
Yes.
I've heard the term.
So basically it's like, you can get like a full body gua sha essentially. And so I was getting this done and I was feeling so relaxed. There's like an amazing place in Dallas that does them. And
do you have to get fully nude?
They give you like, it's like when you get a massage, like they give you little, okay. little undies. The girl doing it, she was just, she is so sweet, but she was just, she had a lot to say. It takes one to know one. Had a lot to say. And we're about like maybe 45 minutes into the like hour and a half long.
Wait, she talked to you during the massage?
The whole time.
Oh, that's my nightmare. Yeah. That is my absolute nightmare. And Uber drivers, massage, facialists, I don't want to chit chat. I'm so sorry.
We were getting into the nitty gritty. And at one point,
while she's rubbing your stomach and pushing out your lymphatic drainage.
Like the whole thing. And she's doing my face. And she said something to the effect of like, I don't know why, but I feel like I'd like your mom. And I was like,
Well, yeah, everyone does.
I was like, yeah, I feel like you would. And she's like, do you have sisters, like your siblings? And I said, yeah, I have three sisters. And she's like, what are their names? And I went, oh, Sloane, Reese, and Kate. And she goes, ah, and your parents gave you the most boring name. Like, I wonder why they did that.
She's like, oh, it's such a shame for such beautiful girls.
She goes, those names are so beautiful. Like, you got such a boring one. Like, why did they do that?
Oh, like you specifically?
Like, Brooke is the boring name. Like, Reese, Sloane, and Kate were like these amazing, like, unique names. And I got the boring name. And
I don't know a single other Brock.
You know me. I started dying laughing. I thought it was so funny. I said, you're right. I have to talk with them.
You're right. And now we have beef. And now we're calling them on the air. Oh, what the hell?
No beef whatsoever. I was like, that is such a funny thing to say to someone. Like, oh, your mom gave you the boring one. I was like, all right, damn.
Well, I'm changing. I'm rewriting you to Brock. Thank you. I'm Marco.
Brock and Marco, get into it, everybody.
I have a debate for us.
Oh.
And that's why I have our buzzers. But do you want to tell us a happy story before we get loom and gloom?
So as we know, I'm going into spring. I've really turned over a new leaf. I'm in my positive era. I feel like I was in kind of like a negative Nancy mindset for a while, but I've really tried to retrain my brain to be more positive. And that includes consuming positive things on the internet, which is rare. And I wanted to share some positive, happy vibes with the pod.
And that's like a 1 in 100 these days.
I know.
Trying to pick out the good ones. And then you see one and you're like, yes. Oh, that feels really nice.
I literally read it on Twitter and I screenshotted it because I'm like, that was just lovely. So have you heard about the group of dogs in China?
No.
Okay. So seven dogs were stolen from their owners went viral for escaping their captors and making their way home. The group is believed to have traveled around 17 kilometers together, led by a corgi across highways and fields.
Wait, there's a movie about this. Homeward Bound.
Okay, it's literally real life Homeward Bound. And then someone responded to the tweet and said, this is the part they left out. The dogs were stolen for the dog meat trade in China because in that province in China, there's 50 plus slaughterhouses. They escaped from a moving truck, formed a defensive formation around an injured German shepherd, and a corgi navigated them 17 kilometers home over 2 days. They were all neighborhood dogs who played together every day, and they all made it back home.
They escaped the slaughterhouse.
Yes.
This is like a movie in real life. It's Homeward Bound combined with Madagascar. They are out free.
This is the group.
Led by a corgi. Damn funny.
Okay. And this is the corgi.
And he led them back home.
Yes. And they all made it back home. That is really cute. But I just thought it was so cute. And someone's like, Disney, like, revamp the Homeward Bound because.
Yeah. Give them a Pixar movie and give them Lifetime BarkBox Rise Up. They need Lifetime supplies. Where are you?
Find the corgi. But yeah, I just wanted to share that. I thought that was such a cute little positive story.
That is so cute. You know what? Maybe we should start every episode with a positive anecdote. That way everything we say erase it and say we said something positive.
You guys can't say we're negative Nancy's. Did you see the pod the first 10 minutes?
Did you see the first 10 minutes? Everything was positive.
And maybe the algorithm would really like that. maybe they'll forget about when we're man-haters.
No, they're not going to like that. They're going to be like, ugh, positivity, shove it down.
Shut up, Blondies.
My favorite positive thing on the internet right now is there is these two guys that brought in in a homeless guy to their apartment and they've revamped his life. And now he has a job. He has a whole life. That's my favorite positive story of the month.
That is. Okay. I like this. Maybe and we'll start doing this.
Who are we?
Are we?
We
you
got
guys?
One good night of sleep, took a shower. My Brooke and I's favorite thing to do when we are together is not bathe for days and days and days on end.
We just kind of forget. And then
we're
and
having then too much fun.
We're having too much fun. And then someone will get a sniff and we're like, oh, and it's been 2 days. And it's been 2 days and enough's enough. Oh, yummy.
Well,
what do you got for us, girl?
Okay. I thought this would be a fun topic to discuss because I think this is a lifelong debate that has been going on that has no resolution. And I think we should weigh in, but okay. There is two parts that I want to read. This is one of those unspoken things that I think everyone is always thinking about whenever they do any form of public transportation. All right. Okay. But there's different avenues.
All right.
So this guy writes in to Reddit and says, am I the asshole for refusing to give up my seat after someone hinted that they needed it more? I, 29 male, was on a pretty crowded train after a long day at work. I managed to get a seat, put my headphones in, and was trying to relax. A few stops later, a woman, maybe mid-30s, got on and stood near me. She didn't say anything directly, but she kept sighing loudly and shifting her weight like she was uncomfortable. At one point, she even made eye contact with me and then looked down at my seat. I'll be honest, I noticed, but I didn't move. I was exhausted and she never actually asked. After a couple minutes, she said kind of loudly, some people don't care about others anymore, while looking right at me. That annoyed me, so I just ignored her. Eventually, another guy stood up and gave her his seat. She thanked him and then gave me a look like I was the worst person alive. Mm-hmm. Now I'm wondering if I was actually in the wrong here. On one hand, she never asked and I was tired. On the other hand, maybe I should have just offered.
Hmm.
So the lifelong debate of do you give up your seat when somebody needs it more? My issue with this one personally, there is nothing wrong with this lady to where she can't stand.
That's what I mean. Like, I need a little bit more context. Is she pregnant? If she is pregnant, you need to stand up.
If she's pregnant, if she's disabled, if she's over 40, or if she has a lot of kids and looks tired, that's when you get your ass up.
I would agree with that. I think if you wanted to be a gentleman and you see a lady who's in high heels, then I also think it's a kind thing to do. I don't think it makes you an asshole not to, but I think it would be overtly very kind to recognize this is a lady who's in very high heels. Those are known to be very uncomfortable. Let me offer you my seat. But I don't necessarily,
right.
I think you're an asshole if you do not stand up and give a pregnant lady your seat 10 out of 10 times, but.
Or an old person.
Oh yeah. If she's like an older lady, 100%. If someone has like a trillion bags in their hands and like, obviously they're struggling, yes. But that's like asshole category. But I think it would be very chivalrous if men recognize how uncomfortable high heels were.
Right. We need more context.
Yeah.
Okay. But there is another story. And this one, I have decided Facebook is the greatest land for entertainment.
I'm telling you.
Because that is where you get people over 40 really telling you their authentic thoughts that they shouldn't say out loud.
For free in the comment sections.
Well, this lady writes, and she says, I was on a train and a pregnant woman was asking for a seat. I offered mine. Okay. So she's in our green zone, but she said she couldn't sit there because it was in the center and she was already feeling nauseous and suffocated. So she asked a guy at the corner and he said, you can sit on my lap. Before anyone could react, a grandma behind him tapped his shoulder and said, I'll sit on your lap. She sat on his lap. The pregnant woman took the grandma's seat and the entire train witnessed instant justice delivered by a 75-year-old legend.
Can I clap?
Can we clap?
Can we get a round of applause in the chat? That rocks. That actually flipping rocks.
Like we said, yeah. If somebody is pregnant or old, get your ass up. On a train, sure. Here's where it pisses me off. When people ask you to get out of your plane seat, that's where I draw the line. Except here's my thing. This is why I would like to make a public service announcement because we know me. I have no spine. So best believe if somebody says, if somebody asks, Morgan, can we trade seats with you? Best believe I'm going to be so scared and I'm going to say yes. Do I want to? no. Mm. Am I going to because I don't want to be the asshole that says no? Probably. Is it enraging? Because every single airline, and Brooke flies more than anyone I know, she can attest to this. You can pick a free seat if you give yourself like 1 second of your time to go in and do it in advance. Why? Why are we expected to give up our plane seats?
Valid. I think that there is, I grew up in a very big family, four kids, and my parents, I don't know, they had like nerves of steel. We traveled multiple times a year as a whole crew. And there would be times where like, it's stressful when you have a ton of kids. And this is like back 20 years ago.
You're right. I'm ignorant because I don't have kids.
You're not ignorant. There's levels to it. I think if there's a huge family of like four kids and you've got five seats in a row and there's a window seat in that, the sixth one in the row, and the window seat is a gentleman and you have the row right behind in the window and you just want your kid to be able to sit with their other family members, and you ask that person, hey, will you mind just switching your window seat for another window seat?
Right. The trade has to be even.
It has to be even. And there I really feel like there needs to be a very visible justification. Like I really distinctly remember when I was a kid, there was a flight where my dad did that. He booked the window seat right behind and asked the person, hey, would you mind just switching? And he said, no, this is the seat I booked. And so two of us had to sit by a stranger and my dad was right behind. And it wasn't a big deal, but it was just kind of like a courtesy thing. And again,
right. If you're offering a fair trade, that I think is justifiable. Or
there was another one. We were flying to Mexico, my husband and I, and we were walking by this couple they weren't arguing necessarily with the person in the seat, but they were going on their honeymoon. And they were like, hey, like we booked, long story short, they had to like switch their flight last minute and they were in seats. Like, again, it was a similar thing where one person was in a window in the one aisle. And then regardless, they asked to do a fair trade. And the people were like, no, the woman was like, no. So they were like, we're all going on our honeymoon. And like, I don't know.
If it's a fair trade, I'll get my ass up happily. If you're asking me to give up my aisle seat and sit in your middle seat, no. I'm going to be pissed because have pee anxiety. And no, book in advance so I can sit on the aisle because everyone knows that I'm going to have to get up at least twice and take my happy ass to the bathroom. If it's a fair trade, I would say go for it.
There's levels to it though, right? Like, I think that there's like an asshole category, like when it's like, oh, so you just want to sit by a bunch of little kids and not just let the dad sit by the kid. Like that's kind of like, that's entering asshole category. Cause again, it's your right to right. take your seat, but it's like, really, dude?
Well, yeah. If you have a family as big as yours, it probably is hard to get that many seats in a row.
Well, back in the day too, there wasn't really, you wouldn't book them on websites. You would do it over the phone. Yeah. And so it was it was a different thing, or you'd have to like do it at the gate. And anyways, regardless, I think that there is an asshole category and then you're within your right to say no, but it would be very kind and chivalrous if you did. You switched.
I would be happy to switch with a mom or an old person. If a couple wants to take my seat and put me in their middle seat so they can sit and rub each other's wieners, it's nonsense.
That's nonsense.
Get your ass out of my seat.
Yeah.
You're right. Brooke is the voice of logic here because you bring the perspective.
I just feel like there's levels
to the context, if you will.
And I don't know. I really think too, like I grew up with parents who were outwardly kind to everybody. Like I was never in the city one time with my dad where he wasn't giving money out to people who needed it, like on the street. Like I feel like I grew up watching, or like something I didn't even realize I did until I was with my husband and he like laughed at me one time when I did it in public. Anytime I see a family like traveling together and they're like at the aquarium or like, I don't know, like doing anything.
I already know what you're going to say. You asked to take a picture of them.
Yeah. I always am like, I'm like, oh, would you like a picture? And they say yes. And cause I watched my mom do that for other people. And I remember when I was really young, it always used to make me embarrassed. Like, why are you talking to strangers like that?
Get out of the strangers, like, mom.
When you're a young parent, it is so hard to get pictures.
And she's like, you're creating memories for people that they'll have forever. And it takes 2 seconds to be kind and do that. And I guess I must have internalized it because I've done that most of my life and I didn't even realize it. But I think too, like, some people are kind of, but I grew up in the Midwest. I feel like if you grew up in the East Coast, it's more polite to like mind your flipping business. Like,
right. To keep your mouth shut,
mind your business.
Eyes forward. Don't you look over here, Blondie. How do you even know we want a picture? Get the fuck out of here.
So I think it's probably where you grew up too. And like the culture of where you grew
up. That is so true. See, I think I'm similar because God knows I will not say no, but I don't always want to say yes. You know what I mean?
But it's like, you're polite. Like,
right.
Whereas I feel like in LA, like politeness, when I lived there, like that was not the go-to. Like people had no problem saying no. Like if they didn't want to do it, they'd be like, hell no.
Get the hell out of my aisle, bro. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. My only thing is with the first story, if I'm a 30 something year old woman and I am perfectly able-bodied and just going about my business, I wouldn't expect somebody else to give up their seat for me.
I wouldn't expect in 2026 for a guy to just, for like, it's not the 40s anymore, right?
Right.
Like being chivalrous to a woman on the principle of them being a woman, we chose not to, we don't want that anymore. Like, do you remember that whole, I this is a hot take, but I remember I was with a girl, we were in New York for like a trip. This guy like opened the door for her, like was like, oh, here you go, opens the door. She cussed him out. I was in college. She cussed him out and was like, why did you do that? Like, I didn't ask you to do that. Like, why did you expect that I wanted that? Like, because she was angry that he did that because she felt like he wanted like praise for it and like a thank you. And I just remember being
like, what's wrong with just saying thank you?
Yeah, I was like, oh, I thought that was nice.
I thought that was sweet. I guess, there is a geographical difference.
Totally. And also like your principles are different, I guess. But I'm like you, like if I was on a train and I'm perfectly able-bodied, I wouldn't expect a man just to stand up for me just because I'm a woman.
Right.
Yeah.
Like the expectation. I think that the gesture is nice, but the expectation is too much.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Concurred.
Concurred.
We've been saying that a lot.
I don't know what the hell we're going to do with those buttons, but I bought them because I want to hit one so bad. Piss me off, please.
Someone on the Tron said when we do Am I the Asshole readings, that will be the asshole button.
Okay. So, okay. I can get down with that.
We can get down with that.
I really love pushing the button. It makes me feel so powerful.
Morgan and I have also been saying concurred a lot recently. And I think
this
really
is the jury. We got to get on the same page.
Concurred.
Well, do we want to get into our inbox?
With my mini iPad.
Oh, we know this. Loves her mini iPad. I love her prized possession.
My mini iPad and my brand new Switch 2 that my husband gave me to play Dreamlight Valley on are my prized possessions.
You did get me onto Dreamlight Valley and I have been having a lot of fun.
Can you tell the people?
I've been having a lot of fun on Dreamlight Valley.
There, I said it. There, I said it. Okay. So we, as you know, have an email. Everyone is allowed to write us emails and we love when you do.
And you are encouraged. We welcome your email. So we have a lovely write-in that I've been very excited to read.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, gang. Love that. Mwah. My sister is a sophomore in college. She called to tell me her roommate vanished. She came home from class and there it is, half the room empty. Oh. The roommate was gone and my sister was devastated. Honestly, that sounds like a dream to me. You get the room to yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She ends up having a meeting with the old roommate, the RA, and herself.
Uh-oh.
The old roommate says that it wasn't working because there was a smell. The RA immediately clapped back with a smell. There can't be a smell. Then the RA tours my sister's room and the old roommate stays back. It turns out there was some drama with the old roommate's boyfriend, and that was the real reason that she left. Anyhow, my sister has some of her other friends come to the dorm room to see the smell for themselves. A few say it's musty, but not bad enough to move out. My sister and I go to Reddit. Musty could be from the AC. There was mold in the AC. So one, what should we say, if anything, to the old roommate? Two, one other anecdote for you. Turns out another girl in the same hall had their roommate leave them for a smell too. But this wasn't because of the AC. This girl had regular accidents and would pee herself regularly.
Oh, bless her.
Safe to say she felt safe with my sister, and now my girl is feeling devastated. Mm-hmm. I kind of laugh because what advice can I give? First thing I said was, girl, do you smell?
And that's a sister for you. And you know what? From one older sister to another, that's hell yeah. Keep them honest.
Should we somehow put a dead fish in the other girl's new room? Would love y'all's advice for our sake. Thanks. I have to say, if I was a person that walked around stanking up a room and one of my brothers didn't say, Morgan, you stink. You reek. No one wants to hang out with you because every time you open that pearly white little mouth of yours, there is a green foam. What's the sound effect? Yeah, the sound effect. I do not want to walk around like Booger Girl.
Yeah.
But if your family has case closed, concurred, you are not the stench, mm-hmm. I would say, oh my God, the girl moved out. You have a room to yourself. Oh no.
Also, the title of this email is, bruh, help my smelly sister before it's too late.
But we've established she doesn't stink,
right?
She's
not smelly. No. Okay. I feel like sometimes...
Hit us, Blondie. Sometimes what?
I have a story.
Offend us.
I have a story.
Enrage me.
That I would like to share in tandem with this.
Okay.
So I can give context to the story, the advice I'm going to give.
Are you going to tell me that I stink?
No.
This is a confession. Brooke's like, actually, Morgan, no. I wrote this in. I can't sleep in your bed anymore. You reek.
I've literally never once smelled you in a bad way.
Thank you.
You are probably one of the best smelling people I know.
It's because I have a chronic fear that, because in my mind, I, not in an asshole way, but every time I've been around someone that stinks, you just don't forget it.
Yeah.
And I don't ever want that to be my impression.
I know that you, all four of my sisters, or three of my sisters and my mother would all tell me to my face, Blondie, you reek.
I would. 100%.
And I find really a lot of comfort knowing that. So I don't stay up at night with that. Have I ever told you my college roommate story from hell?
I didn't know you ever had a college roommate.
There's a reason.
Oh. Oh, we're learning. We're all learning about Brooke together.
Okay. So it's a little bit of a long one, but I promise you it's worth it.
We're ready. Speak to us, Blondie.
I went to Pepperdine University from 2017. I was a spring admin. So I came in to my freshman year in the spring semester, 2017 of the spring I graduated in 2020. And coming in as a spring admin, you're coming into a well-established, it's very, very, very different than coming in the fall because everyone's in the same boat and you're all making new friends. Coming into the spring, you're coming into well-established friend groups and dynamics and a lot of the, and there's a reason for that, right? And so typically you get roomed with other spring admins. So Pepperdine, I'm sure most colleges, they'll put spring admin student with a spring admin student and then that way you're
giving them a fighting chance.
Yeah, you're in it together. And there was actually a dorm on campus when I was there that was just for the spring admins.
Really?
Yeah. So
I too am a fellow spring admin.
Were you?
And it is tough because it's hard to break into people who have already, because the first semester of college, I feel like that's when everyone is really fighting for their friends and their friend group. And then once you're in the spring, everyone's already established.
And everyone's
It's hard to break in.
They're much more open. And so I just kind of assumed that that's where I would be.
In the spring building.
For some unknown reason, I was put, there was a thing on Pepperdine that was really, really amazing and very kind of revered, and it was the Regent Scholarship. And the Regent Scholarship was like a full ride scholarship because you were that flippin' smart.
Did you have that?
No.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if she did. Brainiac over here.
You are so sweet. No, I didn't have any financial. I had like a little financial aid, but not much. Definitely not smart enough for a Regent Scholar. I'm talking like these girls are like 4.0 plus, like very smart.
All right,
smart.
All right.
Not I. I failed math like many times. Like I can't. No. So I showed up to school and the first thing someone asks me when I enter the dorm was, oh, are you a Regent Scholar? Like, oh, you're another Regent Scholar. And I was like,
huh?
I was like, no, what's that? And she was like, oh, everyone in this dorm is on that scholarship. Like they all room us together because we all like have to keep a certain GPA. And it's like, and I was thinking like, bro, I can't do basic long division. Like I don't belong here. Like, uh-oh.
And we didn't have ChatGPT in those days.
No, it was the Stone Ages. And so the way that our dorms were structured, I think you said Hawaii was the same. It was like suites. So you would have four dorm rooms all in one suite that shared a bathroom. And there was like, yeah, so there was like.
Oh no, I was in one of the rooms that was like 10 by 10 with two beds and a bathroom per floor. What kind of is that?
We had bathroom per four dorms.
Oh, that's so nice.
And then there
so
was
nice.
Like a living room area. So like you had your dorm roommate and then you had your suite mates. So there was like two groups. So I was in the suite with the other Regent Scholars and I was like, oh, like. No biggie, but like,
oh, I'm the outsider.
I'm coming
here.
In to a very established group. And
well, that would be the same if you were a, what's the term?
Regent Scholar.
A NARP, a non-athletic regular person. Yep. And you randomly got roomed with three people on the volleyball team.
Exactly.
It's just, you're out of place.
And they were all fall admins. It was a whole thing. So when I showed up, everyone's looking at me like, really nervous.
Oh, no.
And I'm like,
they were stunned by your beauty.
Well, I wasn't what they were nervous about. They were nervous about the girl I was rooming with.
Oh.
And so let's call her, we're going to call her Jennifer. That is not her real name. So Jennifer, I come to find out, had a roommate beginning of freshman year. And then something happened that they wouldn't tell me. And then she got to live by herself. The roommate moved out. She had been living by herself and had only been given a 48-hour notice that I was going to be her roommate.
Oh.
And
something tells me she didn't want a roommate.
This girl did not want a roommate.
Oh, no.
I show up. The beds had been pushed together and all of her stuff is still on my side of the dorm.
Uh-oh.
And again, I'm like going in with I'm good intentions. So.
Well, one thing about my friend is she can make friends with anyone.
Yeah, I wasn't really, to be honest, I wasn't worried about it. And so I was like, oh, I'm so sorry for the late notice. Like, I don't know why they did that. Like, so sorry about that. And she looks at me. She goes, right. When I tell you this girl,
as if you get a choice, as if you chose this,
not having it.
She's like, so I'm going to keep my beds pushed together. Can you get a sleeping bag
in
the hall?
She's not having it. So another thing about Pepperdine, y'all need to know, is it is a Christian school. So like
prayers up.
A lot of people who go there aren't Christian, but technically it's Pepperdine is like a Christian denomination school. So there are a lot of people who are super Christian that choose to go to Pepperdine for that reason.
Okay.
I wouldn't say it's a majority, but there is that does exist. And this girl had like Bible verses and crosses like all over the door. And I think at this time I would consider myself Christian, but I was a baby Christian. Like I did not know anything about anything. Like I was just getting my footing. And the first thing to me that she said was, so what's your favorite Bible verse?
No, swear she
God,
did not.
Swear. And I was like, oh, like, I don't really have one. And she goes, oh, like it alarmed her. Okay. Now, here's another
no.
piece of this. Pepperdine has very strict rules when it comes to how they're, so it is a dry campus. There's no alcohol on their campus. And the dorms with adult women are put under curfew. So you are not allowed to have a member of the opposite sex in your dorm room past 10 p.m.
Right.
And the RAs go around And there's RAs, resident, was it resident assistants, mm-hmm. resident, and then there's spiritual assistants. So they both kind of tandem, like kind of baby, this was back in the day. I don't know if they still do it, but they would like babysit the dorms. So if like a boy was caught in your dorm, it was like kind of a big deal.
A big no-no. I believe it's the same at BYUs.
Okay,
yeah. Like all the big religious schools. They're locked down.
And some schools, like Pepperdine had those rules, but I never heard anyone enforce them. So I don't know. For context also, I had a boyfriend at the time.
Ooh la la.
I had a boyfriend at the time. And him and I dated before we ended up both going to Pepperdine, but we were dating before we came to the school. So we had been together for a while and he was with me when I moved in. It was like him and my dad, they like helped me move in. And she goes, "Is this your boyfriend?" And I was like, "Yeah, like, hey." And she looks me dead in the eyes and says, "Okay, we're going to be having a conversation about this later."
He leaves. Not even a hi, hello, no. How are ya? No.
So he leaves and I'm getting to know the girls. I'm like putting my best foot forward. Everyone's looking at me like I'm like a victim. I don't know why. Like, I don't know why. Like,
they know you're going to be.
They literally.
They're calling a therapist in advance saying, "We know a girl that's going to need you."
So my boyfriend leaves. My dad leaves. I'm alone with a girl who looks like she's about to kill me. And I don't know why. I don't know what the deal is. We're alone in this room. I'm like all moved in. I got all my cute dorm stuff. Like my bed's all made with my Urban Outfitters sheets that I like picked out with my mom. Aww. Like I was really excited to put my best foot forward.
Yeah, you had to impress the LA Malibu girls.
Yes. The door closes. That was nice. What I call her, Jennifer. That was nice her. Door closes. I get not so Mr. Nice Guy. She goes, "Look, I'm just going to tell you this. If I find you with alcohol or if that guy comes into our room, I will be reporting you immediately." Hey, my name's Brooke. I'm a communications major. Like, we didn't even get there. She wanted me dead. And I was like, whoa. And I was like, okay. And she goes, "Yeah, like, I'm just going to like give it to you straight. Like, I honestly,
no
like,
funny business, no, Blondie."
She's like, "I'm here for one reason and one reason only. Like, I'm very serious about this." Da, 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 da. Okay.
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 Perhaps she needed a single dorm.
So I try. Well, she wanted a single dorm. So I'm trying to put my best foot forward. Finally, about 2 weeks in. I, at this point, had only slept there 3 times because I was so uncomfortable in that room. I like was sleeping at my boyfriend's apartment because I was like, I can't, this is like getting kind of hostile. At one point, this girl, I think her actual name was Jennifer. So anyways, this other girl, she pulls me aside and she's like, "Look, no one's allowed to tell you this, but I need to give you context on who you're dealing with because I feel like you're being set up for failure here and you need to know."
As if you are the next victim on a Netflix documentary and they're preparing you to get your head chopped off in your sleep.
Here's what she tells me. She tells me that everyone in the suite loved Jennifer's prior roommate.
Okay.
And that my roommate basically tried to frame this girl as like harming her mental health in order to run her out of the room so that she could live alone because that's what she wanted the whole time.
Did she not assume that they would just automatically put her with somebody else?
No, because she thought that with... So here's what happens. Basically, this girl, Jennifer, starts doing things and behaving in a certain way to try and like garner sympathy and like really scary things and got so like hysterical one night, trying to like get this girl kicked out basically, that the school had to like institutionalize her because they thought that she was a threat to herself. Okay.
They thought she was going crazy because this roommate sent her over the edge.
This is what she was saying. And that the roommate had to be moved out of the room for her own safety because they felt like Jennifer, they thought that Jennifer was trying to literally set her up to take the fall for like some sort of
mental health crisis.
Exactly. So lo and behold,
this is like next level. There should be a show about this.
So they send her away. Okay. Jennifer, literally the school pays for her to go get some mental health help, an assessment. The assessment comes back that she's perfectly fine. They send her back to the room.
So she can flip a switch.
Yes. They send her back to the room. She is able to live there the rest of the semester. And once you know it, she's perfectly content, perfectly fine. She thinks that this means that she won't be roomed with anyone else.
Forevermore.
Forevermore. She thinks that this is
like a dumbass thing to think. Of course they're going to try to put someone else with you.
When I show up, she's automatically like sizing me up, unbeknownst to me, to figure out how to play this so that she gets her room by herself again. Okay.
She's going to make your life hell on earth. So you have no other choice but to leave. And Jennifer does not care how she has to do it.
So this girl,
so what were her antics?
I'll tell you. So I caught her taking photos of me. Yes. My boyfriend like walked me to my dorm one day and I saw her like this, like taking photos of him, like standing in the threshold of the dorm room. I caught her multiple times going through my desk because she was convinced that I was like drinking alcohol and doing God knows what. So she was, I caught her like checking my room multiple times.
As if she's the RA.
Yes. To find something to report me. And I'm like, okay, this is hostile. I'm not a Regent scholar. So like, I'm clearly not going to make it in this friend group. So long story short, I end up breaking the rules. I don't live on campus. I just straight up move in with my boyfriend. Cause I only had to make it through the first semester until I could get my own apartment at the end of my freshman year. So at the end of the semester, I paid for the dorm room. I was all moved into the dorm room. I literally only stepped foot in there, Morgan, maybe 3 times total the entire semester
because it was made so hostile. Scared.
It was so hostile. But I was like, you know what? I can't move out because I went to the school and I was like, hey, I think I need a new roommate.
They're like, girl, we can't pair anyone else with Miss Jennifer. You're the sucker that's going to stick with her. They literally
said, we're afraid if we move you, it will set her off. So we can't move you.
Damn, they are going to bow down to a mentally unstable 18-year-old and let her make the rules.
Straight up. So I was like, okay, whatever. So I just kind of went about my way. I didn't want to like make this girl. I was scared of her. I was like, I don't want you to harm yourself. I was like, I was scared of her. So here's how this ends. I know you guys, I'm sorry, this is a long story. The last day of the semester comes. It's time for me to grab my things and run.
Get the hell out of there and never look back.
I hadn't been to this dorm room in probably 12 weeks. 12 weeks to 15
weeks.
Which
is so unfortunate because if you would have gotten paired with somebody that you would have liked, it probably would have been a game changer.
I think I would have, my life would have been so different.
Right.
Like, I think I would have really, like, I didn't treat college like college. I just kind of treated it as like something I had to like get done, but I never spent time on campus. I didn't have like tons of friends on campus. And I do sometimes feel like I missed out on college because of this scenario. So to the writer, I do understand like the roommate situation can really make or break your situation, especially in that first year.
Because some people get so lucky and the roommate they get paired with becomes their best friend forever.
Or at least someone that they can like cohabitate with. But when there's a bad situation, I mean, I was run out of the place. So I open the door and I'm going to need you guys. I'm going to paint you a word picture. A black cloud of smoke exits the room. There's dust.
Is she doing witchcraft in there?
I open the blinds have been shut for God knows how long. It's dark as shit. And there is an odor coming out of this room like I to this day have never smelled before. There are her pairs of dirty underwear on my fucking bed. Okay. I can see that she has been sleeping in my bed. There are,
for what? Okay.
God knows. There are, so it's like dirty underwear, like week old underwear, all over the house, or all over the room. So that's a smell.
That's the stench.
But that wasn't the main, like, I was like, whoa, like it was so intense. And she wasn't there when I walked in.
I'm like, where is this? There was like a specific smell. I walk over to her desk. Morgan, you know what? You know the Nutribullet blender?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Have you ever seen a fuzzy Nutribullet blender? One that you could braid into a French braid? The mold was literally volcanoing over the edge onto the table. It was a microorganism literally growing, overflowing. And the mold smell.
She's doing science.
Bro, the mold smell. She was like a Spanish major, not a science major. I would have given her that. It was such an intense smell of mold. And the state of the room was so alarming that I was like, what? So I start to smell my clothes. Every single article of clothing that I had left in that dorm room had to be thrown away because the mold smell permeated the fabric.
Well, that could make you sick.
Yes. Yes, girl. So I literally had to throw away all of my clothes, my shoes.
Maybe that's why she was sick in the head. She was collecting mold and it was molting into her brain.
She was a very mean girl. Like, I would have had compassion for her if she wasn't. She would, like, weaponize religion. She was homophobic, outwardly homophobic. She'd be like, I came to Pepperdine because da-da-da-da-da. Like, I don't believe in this. I was like, you are a hate. She was a hateful person. So my patience with her was already, like, my grace with her was already running thin because I don't mess with that. But to be hateful and smelly, pick a damn struggle.
You can't hate gays and stink.
Pick a struggle, Stinky. Oh, my God. Stinky.
But you know, if she would have befriended one gay man, he would have cleaned her up.
No, he wouldn't have. No one could help her. No one could help her. So
he would have given her some Glossier.
Dude, so I walk out of the dorm room, my eyes watering, and I see my guardian angel down the hall who saved me from the semester from hell, who I hadn't seen since she told me that. The other girl who was like, be careful of her.
Yeah.
And she goes, I'm so sorry. Like, we've been complaining about the smell because the smell is coming through the door.
Oh my gosh, there's probably a green fog when she opens the door.
We've been complaining about it. The RAs do nothing because they are so scared of this girl, like, suing the school for God knows what, that they haven't said anything. She goes, but you want to hear the worst part? I go, yeah. Pepperdine has the best study abroad program in the country, arguably the world. They have an amazing study abroad program where they send their students for like year-long programs, okay? And the way Pepperdine does it is they have Pepperdine dorm rooms abroad. So it's not like you're staying in apartments like other schools do it or like sharing dorm rooms with other college students. It's like Pepperdine abroad. I find out that this girl had been accepted into the Shanghai program, the China program.
Uh-oh, they're not going to deal with her stank.
Girl, the room situations in this particular program, it is 6 to a room. And I looked at this girl and I was like, there is no way that they can do that to these other poor girls.
Oh my
girls.
Gosh, no, they're all going to be victims.
No, I was like, they can't do
that. They're all
going
to end up on a TV show. And they're going to be in the blender soon.
And I was like,
what was in that blender? That's what I want to know.
A living organism. Literally, I don't want to know. It could probably speak if I talk to it. So I don't know what overcame me. Like, I'm not really good at advocating for myself, but when it comes to advocating for others, like, little can stop me. I marched my ass over to the study abroad program office and I was like, hey, I need you to look at these photos on my phone and tell me that this girl is capable of rooming with 6 other people.
Abroad in another country. Where she is not speaking the main language. No.
And I showed them the pictures and they were like, when were these taken? I go, today. And I was like, you guys do whatever you want, but in good conscience, having dealt with this girl for an entire semester and not felt comfortable living in the room, y'all need to know this. And they still let her go. And she came back at the end of that year.
Bro, she has a list of victims. There has to be a list of you that you guys could form a support group together.
I met a girl my senior year who roomed with that girl in Shanghai. And the stories she had about this individual shiver down my timber.
Well, you know what? To the person that wrote in, maybe you guys could look at this as your sister saving grace because maybe she would have ended up needing a support group like Brooke.
Literally. Because all to say,
deeply empathize with the roommate situation because I feel like I'm someone who can manage conflict pretty well, but there are some people who are so difficult, you kind of just have to cut your losses.
Well, there's also nothing worse than hating the environment that you live in and the people that you live with can make or break it. Because yeah. You know the dance, when you don't want to go into your... I feel like when you know your roommate situation is bad is when you're afraid to go into your own kitchen because you don't want to run into them. That's when you 100%. Know. That is the telltale sign. You got to get out of there
or when
soon.
Your nervous system relaxes when you realize they're not in.
When they're gone.
Yes. Like that's such a bad sign. Mm-hmm. But sorry for the long story, but I sometimes close my eyes and I can see that Nutribullet blender. And
I the Nutribullet. What did the Nutribullet do to deserve that? And what was she blending up? That's what I want to know. Brooke knows about my roommate.
It was fruit. It started as a fruit.
And now it's a new organism that will be documented 10 years from now.
Now it's an alien organism that is probably loose on the world somewhere.
You know who I know that had the worst roommate that I ever witnessed with my own two eyes?
Ooh.
Trinity.
Really?
Trinity. There was something about her where every situation that she moved into, the roommate was always psycho.
Really?
I say this without a blink in my eye. Trinity, picture this, is so friendly and cute and fun.
No
she
one nicer.
Gets this cuckoo banana roommate. What does the cuckoo banana roommate do? She's obsessed with her to the point where my theory was maybe the roommate was in love with her. And we tried to give her so many chances. You know, we tried to do the good thing. We tried to invite her out. We tried to get to know her. We tried to go on walks with her. We tried to befriend her. What does she do with us trying to befriend her? She puts a camera up in their apartment because it was the same situation. Girl lived in apartment dorm. Other roommate ran for the hills. She was alone for a while. Trinity moved in. She was pissed.
Mm-hmm.
What did she do? Set up a camera and said, well, this was my apartment that you moved into. So I have every right to record everything you do.
I'm telling you,
it's bad out there, you guys. And I was always trying to play devil's advocate, which I do a lot. Trinity and I, we are upstairs. We're studying. We had different things going on, but we were hanging out, doing our own computer work. And she was like, we can't stay here. We got to go up to the roof. And then I needed a phone charger. So I go down to the room to get the phone charger. I walk in to this shared apartment, you guys. What is this girl doing? Her boyfriend is over. She has his underwear on. She is giving him in the living room a fashion show. Knowing that we're simply two stories up, girl has nothing but her boyfriend's underwear on, is giving him a fashion show in the living room, modeling his underwear to him. I walk in. I don't know what the fuck I said. I think I said some stupid thing like I would say. And I was like, oh, fun. Like, I would do that too. Like, I didn't know what to say. I was so uncomfortable.
You go. Right.
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 Oh, we're having fun. Oh, Project Runway.
Oh, cute girl.
Oh my gosh. Roommates can be from hell, you guys. I think that's a new Netflix series. Roommates from
That exists.
Hell. Does it?
Roommate from Hell literally exists. My nightmare roommate, something like that. Yeah.
Oh, but is that the one where they always end up getting killed or someone gets killed?
It's like some people survive it, some people don't. Yeah. No, well, college roommates, it's such a make or break. I traumatized myself retelling that story. I never tell that story either.
You know, when we became friends, Brooke, that's when I had my special roommate.
Listen, have we ever told y'all about her special roommate?
We haven't, because I live in fear
of who? Her? No.
Long story short, you guys, I bring my new friend over and I'm trying to impress her. Brooke is my new friend and we are each other's soulmate LA friends. We both have a real friend in LA. We're so excited. Mm-hmm. What was our routine? We would order Yogurtland and we would sit our asses on my couch and we would watch YouTube videos.
Oh,
and
it
was magic.
Giggle our little asses off. Mm-hmm. I mean, to this day,
and that's still what we do.
Wow.
And then Brooke got to see the real side of my roommate, which was she loved to have men from Tinder
male
over.
Suitors over.
And Brooke and I sat downstairs on my living room for hours while she was getting clapped upstairs.
She had very a gentleman loudly. Shooter over.
And you know what? Take it away, Brooke. What did she say when she came back downstairs?
Okay, listen. We told this story on the Tron once, and we actually filmed an episode where we told this whole story.
And then I got scared.
And we got scared. So it's a Tron exclusive. Do we want to tell the pod?
Give them the best of it.
Okay.
What had happened that night?
Basically,
that the Tinder man came over.
We were sitting on the couch.
This was my final straw, by the
way. And the way that Morgan's apartment was structured is it was three stories, but all of it, you could kind of, it was kind of an open staircase situation. So you could kind of overlook into the living room from any floor you were on, essentially.
Walls made of paper.
Like you could, if Morgan was talking in her bathroom on the third floor, I could hear her down in the kitchen. So we're minding our business and we hear a knock, knock, knock on the door and Morgan's roommate leaps. I'm talking soars down the stairs at such a gusto she left skid marks on the wood. Hits the door and the guy is shuffled in to Morgan's house before we can even know what's happening.
We can't even know who's there. We don't get a hi, hello, how are ya?
It's like, yeah.
He is rushed upstairs in an emergent state.
And like Morgan mentioned, we hear commotion. And the commotion is ongoing for...
It sounds like they're rebuilding the damn house up there.
They're building Hoover Dam. Like they are constructing the Eiffel Tower. Like there is massive construction going on upstairs. Jackhammers.
For hours.
You guys, hours. I know it sounds dramatic when we're like, it was a couple hours. It was a couple hours.
No, we made it in LA. And by the time it got delivered an hour later, it was still going on.
Yeah. So we're minding our business on the couch. Giggling about it as you do. The guy creeps, like almost tries to pretend like this isn't happening. He leaves the house.
In his basketball shorts, in a button-up t-shirt and basketball shorts.
Tail between his legs. Like he does not look pleased, I wouldn't say.
Oh, no.
She comes downstairs irritated. Now, she found us dumb as hell.
She told us that.
She, to our faces, I think this very night, said, y'all kind of have dumb humor.
Morgan, you and your friend just...
Like, I have
more
like...
You just have stupid humor.
I have more like smart humor. Like, I like more like elevated comedy. You guys are just kind of like the stupid humor. Okay. Damn.
All right. I thought we were funny.
So this girl, she comes downstairs. She looks at us so, so sincerely, so nonchalant, said... It's so irritating. I just had anal for like 2 hours and he didn't even finish.
We have Yogurtland in our laps. Like, what the hell are we supposed to do with this information? Not only do we know that that happened upstairs because we had to listen ASMR Pound Town full volume. He left in a scurry. We could tell he wasn't happy with his endeavor. And what do you say to someone in that situation?
I'm still speechless. I just had anal for 2 hours and he didn't even finish. Our jaws were on the floor.
And you might think we are being mean girls, but she was heinous to us. Well, she was not a nice person.
And not just that, she was constantly having strangers over to Morgan's house. And she wouldn't tell Morgan that these people were coming over. These were not like longtime boyfriends or like, these were one night stands that she was inviting over to Morgan's house. And at the time living in LA, that was a safety hazard for you.
That really was a safety hazard. That was also back in the day during like the Jeffree Star series. So I was already on high stalker alert, high alarm. Don't let strangers in the house. And keep in mind, I am pretty chill. If you just say, hey, I'm having someone over, I would say, cool. Do I want to be there when it happens? Probably not.
Well, not just that. There would be no preface. And then she would get like, there wasn't like a open line of communication at all.
Right. Like every time I had my friend over, I said, hey, roomie, my friend is coming over tonight. BTW. Like it wasn't like I was needing permission.
No.
I was just thinking, hey, a courtesy text would be nice.
But she was fighting her own battles.
I think that I learned a very good lesson from that. And it is do not live with people who you do not have similar lifestyles to, yep. because the situation was me, who's afraid of everything. My roommate wakes up 6 a.m., is taking bong rips on our shared balcony. And what am I to do with that information? Apartment. Then it was too cold. So she moved the bong rips inside. And how do you say to someone, hey, considering I pay for 90% of this apartment, maybe don't take bong rips in our shared living environment.
When your name is on the lease, you're the one who has the renter's insurance that says do not smoke in the unit.
Yeah. The situation was I rented the apartment and then she
sublet from you.
Yes, basically. Yeah. But I told the guy we were cool, but it was my apartment that eventually she moved into. So yeah. it wasn't like we found this place together. We were 50-50 roommates. It was like a 90-10 situation. But yeah. Note to all the college ladies out there, when you get out of college and you get to pick your own roommate, choose wisely. Do not choose people who do not have similar lifestyles to you, because nobody's lifestyle is wrong. But there are people who shouldn't live together based on their lifestyle preferences.
Cohabitation is already hard enough. Mm-hmm. Don't make it harder on yourself. To the girl who wrote in, tell your sister, 59 minutes in,
we finally have a conclusion.
To the girl who wrote in, tell your sister to count her blessings. And if, here's my advice. Tell everyone that the stink was coming from the other roommate and she was nose blind, and everyone agreed that the stink somehow miraculously left when the girl moved out.
I don't know what to say. Can you tell that I'm getting hungry?
I can. What do you want to eat?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. What are you in the mood for?
You know, I have a chronic issue where Jersey Mike's always sounds good to me.
I could body in an entire Jersey Mike sandwich right now. I don't know if you guys can tell that I'm losing steam.
There's one thing about my friend, when she goes nonverbal, we got about 15 seconds to get a chomps in her or everyone pays.
You will all rue the day that I don't get Jersey Mike in my mouth in the next 20 minutes.
We went to the mall with our friend Maddie, like, what was that, 3 days ago? And we get to the Gap, and the Gap is on the other end of the mall.
Oh, by the time I make it to the Gap, it's over. It's like a mile walk by the time you get to the Gap. And you're like
popping into stores as you go.
And there's no snacks over there. What the hell is that about?
We're in the Gap. And I know the last time I was in the Gap with her, it was when she needed a pick me up. So I'm thinking, okay, we got about 10 minutes to get in and out of this, in and out of the store. And our friend Maddie is like looking for something specific. And I look at these pair of jeans and I was like, oh, Morgan, are these so cute? She looks me dead in my eyes and goes, Brooke, you've got 50 pairs of jeans. You don't need one more.
She does. Was I wrong? Did I lie? Brooke and I will fight like sisters. I'm like, Blondie, yeah, you have 42 like, pairs of the same.
I wanted the jeans. I just said, aren't these cute? And then I looked at her. I go, oh yeah, wait, we're in the Gap. I must forgive everything that comes out of her mouth. We're in the Gap. Like, we got to get her to the Nordstrom Cafe. Stat.
Well, lucky for you, I just reordered our order from Jersey Mike's from the other day, and our mega subs are on the way.
Mega subs. And I know that's right.
We are getting the mega subs, and I may or may not body the entire thing in one sitting.
Me too.
Well, that was so much fun. If you have a roommate from hell, feel free to ride into the Tron, or not to the Tron, but we will also be on the Tron.
Yeah. See you on
I'm losing
Tron.
All train of thought. Feel free to write about your roommates from hell to our very official email. And if you want to see our lovely faces tomorrow after I have some deli meat in me, then you can join us tomorrow.
On the Tron, baby. Mwah. Thanks for sticking around. And thanks for holding space for me while I shared my roommate trauma, you guys.
I thoroughly enjoyed learning more about my friend.
And there's more where that came from. Threatening. Bye, you guys.
Bye.